I am also going to recommend Wednesday night service to you. If it ministers to me the way that it did, I believe it'll minister to you. What you don't know is I was so empty before that service. I almost called him and begged him to let somebody else minister. So maybe the secret is getting really empty. Getting totally dependent, you know. I thought it was powerful. And when I listen to him again and take notes, there's something to it. Okay. All right, well, today is, we're still ministering on the subject of co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start at a chapter no one ever... No, it's not Romans 8. Go to John chapter 3. Oh, no, not John 3:16. Well, close, real close to it. Just like Wednesday night, I just know where to start, really. I don't know where we're going to end exactly. And I want to say this again, especially, 8:30 service. You guys are the tip of the spear as far as I'm concerned. Diehards are the diehards. The ones that's going to really spearhead revival. Hungry. Hungry. So, we're going to change the world. Alan's not kidding when he says that. We've been called by God to change the world. But we're not going to do it without the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that right now. We've got to learn how to co-labor with Him, and that's what this is all about. So normally, when you go to John 3, you go to John 3:16. So let's do read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, thank God, that is the heart of the gospel right there. The heart of the gospel. But I keep hearing this phrase today, just born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So if you back up a little bit, this whole discourse really is between him and a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus had been watching Jesus, seeing the miracles that were done. And even though Nicodemus was a Pharisee, he was impressed. Okay, and he wasn't like all the other Pharisees that were jealous. So let's just pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 3. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's not a low-level person. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, Nicodemus, just thinking according to the natural man, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, now we're coming to it, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, and what's that next part? And of the Spirit. And it should be a capital S there. Lest a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You have got to be born of the Spirit of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom if you're not born of the Spirit. All those old adages? You can't tithe your way into it. You can't give your way into it. You can't do good works to get into it. You can't do any. You have to be born into it. See? A lot of people in church, it's not born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He's talking about you and I. But let's continue. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, where it wants to, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone. And here's the phrase again, that is born of the Spirit. See, the natural world looks at you. They can't see that you're born of the Spirit. Just looking at you, they can't see. But see, just this week, in November, we had a tornado in Oklahoma. Boy, you can see where that wind has been. Can't you see where that wind has been? You can see the effects of it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. They may not be able to see you, but if you're truly born of the Spirit, they're going to tell by the wake that you left. When Jesus would pass through a village, when he left that village, it wasn't the same as when he came. The blind saw, the sick were healed, the lame walked. It wasn't the same. It's supposed to be that way with us. So I've been meditating on this born of the Spirit, and thank God for Pastor Dave, who has taught us so much. I used to think little baby spirits were created in heaven. God sent them down to earth. I was raised to believe that in a denominational church. That's the way we all thought. Until Pastor Dave, line upon line, very slowly and meticulously, took us back and showed us, no. God's really only ever made two men. He made the first man, Adam. He made the last man, Adam. Then he said, now you go and make men. Well, Adam went and produced natural men. Sadly, they're all fallen because he fell. But Jesus is producing spiritual men and women. Born of the Spirit. Amen. So Dave took us back and said, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh. God gave Adam and Eve the privilege and the responsibility of populating the earth. Through the law of Genesis, when that first cell division happens, when the conception happens, and that first cell division, that little spirit is created right there. That's why abortion is always murder. Even when it's to save the mother's life, somebody dies. God help America. God help us. God help us. It's not today's message. Just so you'll know, I am on purpose. I have certain names that I can't stand to watch them on TV. I have to silence their voice. Politicians. Because I so despise what they stand for. And I have their names on a piece of paper so that I can obey the words of Christ and pray for them on purpose every day. And it's taken all of the whatever it is in me to do it. Because it's just sheer raw obedience. Because if Gary had his way, it would be a little different. But I'm not Lord. Okay, again. Help me, Lord. Get back on track. Back on track. So what it really matters to be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. I keep having this little recurring teaching vision right now. And Dave has taught us. He's taught me well. I know when those are not pizza visions. I know where they come. I know that place in me where those are generated. So let's look at Jesus being born of the Spirit. Let's back up just a little bit. Actually, you're going to have to go to Luke to do this. Back up to Luke chapter 1. This is where the angel came and spoke with Mary, telling her that she was going to have a child. And Luke 1:34, she says, then said Mary unto the angel, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She truly was a virgin. Now notice this. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Who's coming upon her? Okay, now that's important. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So I'm having this little recurring vision, and here's this little virgin girl, young teenage girl, I think. And the Holy Spirit, God, the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Ghost, even before there, before this event, God's looking down from heaven. You know, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Trouble is, man's candle went out when Adam fell. Now, however many humans were on the earth, if God was looking down from heaven, he couldn't find a single light. That's not that people didn't, some people love God, they serve God. The longer I'm in this, the more I'm impressed with all the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, that they could do what they did and accomplish what they did by faith without even being born again, because their spirit was dead as a doornail. Hard to believe. God looking down from heaven, there is not a single light, not one lit candle, not one human on the face of the earth that had the life of God on the inside of them. I see why Jesus called the seed. God's about to plant a seed, and it is the seed of life. So how does he do it? I know. The Holy Spirit, somehow, with his power, he comes on this girl. And life. Now, she doesn't get born again. Not there. She does later. She doesn't get born again. But there is life imparted into her. If you'll allow me, a seed. And it's very much like our natural seeds, you know. You take a corn seed or any acorn, anything, any kind of seed always has a germ on the inside where the life is. Then it has a husk. Well, that's just pretty much like Jesus. He had the very life of God in his spirit. But his body was a husk that came from Mary. Really came from Adam. You got that? But the Holy Spirit, we just got through reading, you must be born of the Spirit. Well, Jesus' first birth was born of the Spirit. You got that? And here's the vision part that I'm seeing. That same Holy Spirit, no doubt, during the 30 years before Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit walked with him, talked with him like he did with the Old Testament saints. Didn't the Holy Spirit walk with them, talk with them? I'm sure he was with Jesus. I'm trying to say in words what I keep seeing in a picture. Okay. So the Holy Spirit comes on Mary. This life is conceived in her. The life eventually is born. And as I see this now, here's Jesus. For 30 years, the Holy Spirit's not in him. The Holy Spirit's with him. And I see why Dave would tell us Jesus had his own human spirit. See, Jesus, he had his own human spirit. He was born of God, but he had his own human spirit that had life in it, the lit candle. And I see the Holy Spirit like walking with him during those years, you know. But now Jesus performed no miracles. We know that from John. The beginning of miracles was the wine at Cana. Isn't that right? But I have no doubt the Holy Spirit, like a father, would walk with him, talk with him, teach him. Jesus would study the scriptures. Don't you know the Holy Spirit would probably help him? I would think so. Anyway, here's the vision part, and I'm having trouble putting it in words. That same Holy Spirit that came on Mary, that conceived the life, but then the two walked, if you'll allow me, separate for 30 years together, but the Holy Spirit's not in Jesus. 30 years later, in fact, now back up or go over to Luke 3. Verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and he's being baptized by John, the heaven was opened, And the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the same Holy Ghost that came on Mary, that produced this life. Is that right? Now, this same Holy Ghost descends in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." Now, from last Sunday's teaching, I believe it was, Jesus' candle for sure is lit. He is a lit candle. And here comes the Holy Ghost, that pillar of fire. And you remember what really happened at the baptism of John? It's total surrender. It's, "Father, I know why you sent me." When John lays me down in this water, that's a visual vow that I'm making to you. I'm going all the way to death. "Father, today I give up all rights as a human. I give up all rights as a young man to ever have a wife, ever have a family, ever have a career, ever see France." I'm just picking stuff out. Vacations, have a lake home. You understand what I'm saying? It is total surrender. Then the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost that first conceived that life in him, now comes not to be with him, but comes to baptize him and live in him. From that day forward, remember the vision? I saw the candle and I saw the pillar of fire. Then I saw the two be merged together as one. That's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now I could still see the candle inside the pillar. But I saw as that pillar would move, the candle would move with it. There was never a time when the candle stepped outside that pillar. Now, go over to chapter 4. Let's see the first thing that happens now that Jesus has the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. Let me say it that way. What we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's fully immersed in the Holy Ghost now. The first thing that happens, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. I just said that. Did I not just say that? He's been filled full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Now notice, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Stop. Who is leading who? Question. Who is leading who? We don't think of it like that. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the prototype for every born-again, Spirit-filled Christian on planet Earth. And when he got baptized, when he totally surrendered to God and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, "My life belongs to you. I go where you say go. I do what you say do. I surrender." And the Holy Ghost leads him. Now, you know, we did that series on 1 John recently. 21 messages. I think it's the most important work I've ever done to date. John kept referencing over and over again the teachings of Jesus. In fact, the whole book, he says, "What I'm writing this book for is to declare unto you what we have seen and heard." And so all through that teaching, he'd had me go back and find the teachings of Jesus. And the bulk of it came out of John 15. So let's go to John 15 because it has a lot to do with what we're, this born of the Spirit thing. What's interesting, John 14 is where Jesus talks about us. He talks about our revival, the vision of this church. "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." In fact, we'll start in 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And here's one of the statements that John said more than once in his little epistle. 50 years later, he still remembers. "If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, John was real blatant about it. 50 years later, what did he say? If you say you love him, if you say you know him, and you don't keep his commandments, you, sir, are a liar. You don't know him, and you don't love him. Well, all John was doing was repeating what Jesus is saying right here. If you love me, keep my commandments. What if I said it this way? If you love me, surrender to my will for your life. And then notice, if you do that, well, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. What's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Ghost if you're going to keep leading yourself? I keep seeing another little vision, and it's church members. And it's not, they tack the name of Jesus over whatever they're doing, like a banner, the name of Jesus. But what they're doing is their own thinking, their own mind, their own will, in the name of Jesus, and they're trying to drag the Holy Ghost with them and asking for power. I don't find that in my Bible. I just don't find it. Yeah, if you love me, keep my commandments. Surrender to my will. Do what I say. And it's not only keeping the commandments that we have in the red letters. It's whatever he tells you to do. It's whatever he tells you to do. See? And if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. And here he starts introducing the Holy Spirit. Come on down to verse 23. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Let's don't go over it so quick. Gary, why are you praying for these politicians that you, in your own self, despise? You can write me letters if you want to. I'm just trying to be transparent. Why are you praying for him? Because I love him. That's the only reason I'm doing it. Because as of this moment, I can't detect any love in me for them. If I had my way, again, thank God Gary is not Lord. Why do I pray for him? Because I love him. I love him. And I know as I pray for, I know he loves them. He does. I don't know how. But I know he does. And I hope and I think that as I pray for them, as I obey him, his love for them will come in me. I'd love to know what that feels like. So if a man love me, he will keep my words. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. And here again, John just kept repeating what Jesus said. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father's which sent me. In other words, why is Jesus called the Word? Well, one reason, it's just one. One reason is he faithfully delivered to us what the Father had said to him. Didn't alter it, didn't change it. Faithfully delivered the Word. He is the Word of the Father made flesh. Glory to God. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And see, again, right after he talks about keeping his commandments, this time he says, do my sayings. Then he talks about the Comforter again, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now notice, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Let's go on over to 15. That's where I started to go in the first place. Now, I am the true vine, Jesus says. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and that's the same word, purge. Now you are purged through the word I have spoken unto you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now I'm going to rephrase it just a little, because we're in danger of, I thank God for all the teaching about who we are in Christ. We have to know who we are in Christ. I'm all for that. I'm teaching that myself. But if you're not careful, you can slip over into a little deception right here. Because let me read it to you. Let me read to you what he does not say. Make sure you have my life in you. Is that what it says? He uses a personal pronoun. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. You know why? It's surrender. It's not a matter of, it's, thank you, Lord, that you've given me that same life that you had in you, and now I'm free to go live my own life. I'm my own Lord now. I'm going to make my own decisions. No. No, you abide in him. Branches don't run off and do their own thing. Branches stay connected to the vine. They have no life in them except what comes from the vine. They don't ever separate themselves from the vine. The vine is the life. So he says, abide in me and I in you. Remember the gospel, the secret is Christ in you, the anointed one in you. Jesus, the intent is he gets to live his life through you. That is surrender. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, and notice, except you abide in me. There's that personal pronoun again. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now here it is. For without me, you can do nothing. Boy, if we'll ever understand that. You know what eventually, that might be too broad. The thing I have to fight against the hardest is that my work for him does not separate me from him. Get so busy. You know, he called you to do something. You start off pure. But if you're not careful, your own mind will add this and you'll add that. And you're thinking it's all in the name. You're thinking it's all him. And before long, if you're not careful, you'll be doing all this stuff for him. And somebody might ask, now, when's the last time you spent a day with him? What happened to your prayer life? Are you in the Word today? And you'll get, it's called burnout. That's why preachers burn out. They empty out. I was talking with a dear loved one I really love this week, and this person had started listening to the First John series, and they said, oh my goodness, it's like just right away on the very first message, I could feel life coming into me. And I said, well, glory, you know, thank God. He's going, I don't know what happened, but it's just been so long since I've heard the Word. I went, I would die. I mean, I'm at every service here. I listen to everything Jim Martin preaches. I listen to everything Bronk preaches. And I call him and say, how come you're preaching so little? Not exactly, not really. But I'll go back and listen to Dave, you know. I would die. I think right now Smith Wigglesworth, they said he wouldn't go 30 minutes without pulling out that Bible that he had on him all the time. He wouldn't go 30 minutes. He'd pull that out and read usually the red letters, usually something out of the New Testament, something Christ said. Constantly feeding his spirit with the word. See, he said here, we haven't got to it quite yet. Let's keep going. Without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Well, that happens to a lot of us. Even you may not reject Christ as your Savior. But if you've lost fellowship with him for an extended period of time, if you're not feeding on his word, you'll shrivel. Don't tell me you won't. You will. You will shrivel. Go too far, it's not good. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. But verse 7, let's stay in verse 7. But if you abide in me, now notice, in me. Not, it's not just a matter of having my life in you. That he could have phrased it that way. Couldn't he have phrased it that way? If you have my life in you, you'll be just fine. Do your own thing, go, see you when you get here. Is that what this sounds like to you? No, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm learning about worship myself. I have met, quote, worship people that don't have any word in them. They get flaky as a $3 bill. Wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up with a top hat that said Jesus on it. Everything is love. Yeah, you whitewashed tombstone, you brood of vipers, that's love speaking. Sometimes you need love to tell you straight. Tell me that's not love, it is too. He's trying to save them from hell, and he's still trying to save a lot of people from hell. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, well, you shall ask what you will. But see, this, you got to keep it all together. This is the totally surrendered person who's being obedient not only to the written word, but to his spoken word to you, your blueprint. Doug Zanstra has a calling on his life that I don't have. I can't live Doug's life. Only Doug can find through the fellowship with the same Holy Spirit. Only Doug and his wife can find the plan of God for them. They're the ones going to be responsible before Jesus. Same with me. Same with you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And it's not just these words. It's his spoken, your blueprint. It's what he has said to you. Well, on that path, if Gary's on the path that he put me on and I'm following the blueprint, and I'm going where he sent me to go, well, glory to God, I can ask what I will. And it'll be done for me. That's what he said. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so shall you be my disciples. Go over to Acts chapter 13. Born of the Spirit. The Spirit that you're born of, which is the Holy Ghost. See, he came upon you when you got born again. That Holy Spirit. Jesus, the glorified man, the man God, God-man Jesus. However you want to phrase that. Right now, in his own glorified body, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Are we in agreement? So who is here? Of the three members, who is here? It's the Holy Spirit. So when you believed on Jesus, whatever prayer you did to get born again, for your spirit to go from death to life, the Holy Spirit came on you much like he did on Mary. Only this time I'm glad he didn't produce a baby in Gary. But he produced life in Gary. But it's more than just, it is life. I have my own human spirit. Like Dave would teach us, Jesus has his own human spirit still seated at the, now again, human spirit. Jesus is now God. He's restored to his glory and seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's got his own spirit. You have your own spirit. Made in his image. Right? But now the Holy Ghost, that's your candle. That's you. But now the Holy Ghost has come and baptized you the same way he came and baptized him. And when that happened with him, we saw what happened. He followed the Holy Spirit, didn't he? It's okay to say yes. He followed the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see if that continues. So let's go over here to Acts 13. It says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch. Now this is the Antioch in Syria, not the one up in Turkey. There was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Oh, I love, look at this. As they ministered to the Lord. What does that mean? Worship, prayer, fellowship, probably praying in tongues. As they ministered to the Lord and what? And fasted. I'm going to suggest again, really enjoy the feasting season. Because we're coming into the fasting season. But now notice, they're serious about this, see? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now remember, the Holy Ghost has not come to be your Lord. He hasn't come to replace Jesus. Jesus said, what he hears, that is what he speaks. He hasn't come to replace, let's say it this way, he hasn't come to become your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. But now notice, the Holy Ghost is the one that's here. He's the one that's directing the church, not just collectively, but each one of us individually, especially if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And look what he said. Now, this had to come through a person. Somebody said this out loud, a prophet or somebody. But separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when that came, when? While they were partying and feasting and watching and binge watching Netflix and... No? It came while they were praying and fasting. Don't you wish there was a church that would teach you about prayer and fasting? Oh, we're at that church, glory to God. Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Did Barnabas and Saul choose on their own? Nope, they did not. Who's calling the shots? It's the Holy Ghost, but it's because Jesus is calling the shots. The Holy Ghost is the one that's here. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And even after they heard that, in order to separate them, they didn't just rush off, did they? They went back to fasting and prayer. So even after they heard what the Holy Ghost said, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I love this next verse. I would love to have as an epitaph on my stone, Gary was sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I'd love to have that as an epitaph. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Excuse me a minute. Let me read it again. This is what we need, church, right here. Being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I see the same pattern here that I see with Jesus. He got filled with the Holy Ghost and he followed the Holy Ghost. These men fasted and prayed. The Holy Ghost spoke. They followed the Holy Ghost. And where the Holy Ghost sent them, that's where they went. Let's come over one more. We're doing good here on time. Go to Acts 16. Let's look at another case. Now, even as I say this, people get weird on anything you preach. Doesn't matter what you preach, they're going to try and get weird. See, If you only hear this message and you think, okay, I'm not going to do anything. How did Dave say that one time? They had this prophet come to his house, and Rosalie, you know, and this prophet guy was going to spend a few days with her, maybe a week or something. I think he was in one of those Elijahs to come, I think. I'm Elijah to come. And he says, I'm so spiritual, I don't even wash my clothes unless the Holy Ghost tells me to wash my clothes. Mm-hmm. Rosalie said, if you're going to be sleeping in our bed, one of our beds, you're going to wash your clothes when I tell you to wash your clothes. See, we're talking about direction here. We're talking about your blueprint. We're talking about the course of your life, which will receive GPS course adjustments along the way. Okay? But you don't need a telephone call when he's already given you written instructions by a letter. You hear that? When I see, if I was to come, I'm just picking, it's Doug Day, I'm picking on Doug today. If I was to find out that Doug and Lisa had no food in their house, I don't need to hear from the Holy Ghost about what to do about that. Amen. I've got a letter. I don't need a telephone call from heaven. I've already got a letter. If you see a brother or sister destitute of daily food or clothing, you know, how abides the love of God in you if you don't give them what's needed for the body? Say, well, and see, and I know Doug, he's a hardworking guy. If they're out of food, it's not his. I mean, they're doing all they know to do. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need a letter from heaven. I don't need a phone call to tell me to witness to my neighbor. You hear me? I don't need a phone call from that for that. I don't need to hear from the Holy Ghost to know to pray for these leaders in our government. I already have a letter for that. What we're talking about is direction. We're talking about the GPS. You know, what do you want me to do with my life? What am I? What have you called me to do? I have no idea what God's called Rachel to do. There is no book of Rachel. Why is there not a book of Gary? And I could turn to chapter 71, which is where I am today. chapter 71, verse November. No, we're December. Verse December. But there is a book of Gary. There is a book of Rachel. There is a book of Doug. But all of that's in the mind of Christ. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's been sent to bring us that mind. Okay? But when it comes to direction, here we are in Acts 16 now. Let's see. They pretty well finished their previous assignment. Pick it up in verse 6. They don't know really what to do next. And they're thinking about it. So in verse 6 it says, now this is Paul and... Silas, I think. Anyway. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, probably Ephesus at that point. So hold up for a minute. Did Paul eventually preach in Ephesus? Well, yeah, he spent 3 years there, you know. I mean, you know, when he first went to Ephesus, can I say all hell broke loose? Because they worshiped the great goddess Diana, you know. And there was a riot. I mean, you know, they shouted for 3 hours and they were putting chains and all of that. But see, there is a present hour mind of Christ. Yes, Jesus is alive and well, and he's the head of the church. And if we'll ever get this living, abiding relationship with him. So the branch is just receiving the life of the vine. And we'll do what comes through that connection. The church will be vastly different than it is today. It won't be man's programs seeking the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It'll be the very life of Christ himself already anointed by the Holy Ghost. See, so let's look at this. So they were thinking, obviously, about going to Galatia, weren't they? But they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. And I'll say it again, the Holy Ghost forbid it because Christ forbid it. It wasn't his mind at this time. Later on, God did send him gifts. So when they were come to Mysia, they assayed. They, you know, that's a gold mining type term where they'll assay. They'll check the weigh in the balance. Can I say it that way? They'll weigh in the balance about going to Bithynia. But notice, the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, no. Can you understand no? Should we go to Bithynia? No. See, right now I'm thinking of James again, gospel entrepreneurs. James. He says, you foolish men, you businessmen that say, do you just say on your own, we're going to go to such and such a town, we're going to open up a business, we're going to stay there a certain amount of months, and we're going to make this much money. I just got to tell you, that sounds like every business meeting I was ever in. That is the way it's done. And James says, you're fools. You're what's wrong with you? He says, first thing you should pray, well, if the Lord wills, we shall live. Whoa, we're talking abiding in the vine stuff now. If the vine chooses, you get to live. Talk to Peter about that. I'm going to be a martyr. What about John? I love that story. Yeah. You better find out what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's what's happening right here. They're finding out what the will of the Lord is. They didn't know. So maybe we should go to Galatia. No. Holy Ghost says no because Jesus says no. Well, maybe we should go to Bithynia. I can just see them sitting around a campfire. Silas going, you ever been to Bithynia? No, never been over to Bithynia. I was there a couple of years ago. I'm telling you, ain't nothing but a bunch of heathen. I'm sure, I'm telling you, Paul, I know we should go to Bithynia and preach the word of the Lord to them there. But if you ever get this connection, you and the Holy Ghost. Boy, I wish there was a church where you could learn to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that would be Pastor Dave again. 30, 40 years, line upon line, teaching you how to distinguish that voice. But the Spirit suffered them not, passing by Mysia. Now, can you tell? Days are going by here. First, you know, they came to Mysia. Okay. They went through the region of Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Then they went to another place called Mysia. So this didn't happen. This instruction that came from the Holy Ghost eventually didn't happen over 5 minutes in prayer. Let me take communion, and let me pinch off a little bread, pinch off a little wine. Shandai my handai, I'm ready to hear you. Fasting and prayer, we read earlier, with fasting and prayer and getting quiet and seeking the Lord and listening to Brenda Foshi play piano. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, it'll help. And Stacy's worship and getting quiet. Time. See, they came down to Mysia. Well, how long did that take? They're walking. They're not no bus. And passing by Mysia, they came to another town, Troas. This didn't happen over 10 minutes. Hurry, Lord. Hurry. I got my programs to do. I got things I got to do, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. What's a hold up? We're the microwave generation. We stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry. Finally, they came down to Troas. So interesting the way this is worded. And a vision appeared to Paul, but it was in the night. I don't know whether he was asleep or not. Seems like if it was a dream, it would have said a dream. So I think it was nighttime. But it was a vision. And I want you to notice the detail. In this vision, now they've been seeking God what to do, haven't they? And they're listening. And the Holy Ghost says, no, no, no. But there stood a man of Macedonia. Now that's, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I think if I see a guy, I don't know how, maybe the Macedonians wore a particular type of clothing where you would know that's a guy, you know. He tells them, come over into Macedonia. That's how he knew. He saw a man, and this man says, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Please read that more carefully. Assuredly gathering, we came to this conclusion. And notice how it's worded, that the Lord, he doesn't say the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you the Lordship of Christ. You see that? So the Holy Ghost is no doubt the one that generated the vision for Paul. But he says, the Lord has called us. The Lord has called us. You got that? Now, we got 6 minutes. Let's just stay with this one. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to that place, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Y'all ever heard of a letter called the Philippians? You're about to see the birth of the Philippian church. And a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont, that means often to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. She became a believer because, look, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, I'm going to skip over just a little bit. You know what happens here? No, I'm not either. We got time. And it came to pass as he went to prayer. So, okay, fruit. Remember what Jesus said? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So far, so good. We heard from the Lord. We got his mind. We went to Philippi. Glory to God, we got a whole family saved. Is that good or what? That's good. Isn't that good stuff? Fruit. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Went to what? And a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which besought her, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Isn't it interesting? It's actually telling the truth. But it's a spirit, it's a devil. And the reason it's doing that, it's trying to draw glory to her. I'm telling you, you can trust these men. I'm the one that you should trust. But I'm telling you, these men are of God. See, after they leave, she's still going to be the one. That's the purpose of that devil. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Oh, glory to God. Now, when her masters... Okay, wait a minute. Fruit. First, they got Lydia and her whole family saved. Glory to God. That's good fruit. Here, they found a girl possessed with a devil. They cast the devil out, and sure enough, it left. Is that good fruit? Absolutely, that's good fruit. But your good fruit often makes the world mad.
Probably shouldn't.
And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Wait. What? Wait. Back up. I've been following the Holy Ghost. I heard from the Lord. Jesus sent me here. All we did was win a family to Jesus and cast out one devil. And they're taking you to court. They're beating you. Beating. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they put them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, you know this story. I got 2 minutes. Listen, you know what happens. They started, instead of whining and complaining like most Christians, see, the branch has no rights. The branch is completely submitted to the vine. The only thing that the branch, if it has anything at all, its only responsibility is to stay connected to the vine. Make sure that whatever life the vine sends through gets delivered in the form of fruit. Can I say it that way? Well, the fruit got Lydia's family saved, got that girl delivered of that devil. But now the vine is getting whooped and stomped on, stripes, and in prison. Does the vine complain? Most Christians would. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained and asked the Lord, "Why? Why, God? All we did was obey you, and look what happened to us." Oh, sorry. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, oh God, sing praises unto God. The Lord is my rock, my strong tower, my shield, and my buckler. In you, Lord, do I trust. I do not trust men. I trust you and you alone, Lord. I'm in your hand. Do with me as you will. I am the branch. You're the vine. They sang praises. And so loud that the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Oh, that's just a coincidence. The tectonic plates just happened to shift right at that. Come on. They released the power of that same Holy Ghost. Shook that prison, opened every door, shook the bands, shook the bands right off of their hands. They could have left, but not one left. And you know, I know why. I didn't know for years. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. For years, I had this question up before God. Why didn't they leave? Why didn't they go? I could not understand that. For a love offering. No. Remember that vision that Paul had? It says, in that vision he saw a man. Paul says, we can't leave yet. I have not yet seen the man that God showed me in the vision. Our fruit bearing here has not finished yet. This branch is staying right where it is until the fruit of that man gets born. So you know what happens? The keeper of the prison, he thought surely everybody had left, you know. He was going to kill himself. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he, that's the keeper of the prison, he called for a light. Now, get this picture. It's dark. They're in the inner prison. It's midnight after midnight. It's totally dark. So he lights a torch, you know, some kind of a burning thing. He's got it by his face. Can you imagine? Now here's Paul and Silas in the dark, in the recesses of the prison. Here comes this man down the hallway, and he's got this torch right by his face. Suddenly he enters the room where Paul and Silas are. And I can just see Paul nudging Silas because he saw that face. When he saw that face, when that man came in the room, I can just almost see Paul nudging Silas. That's the man. Oh, God. And you know what happened? That man got saved, his whole house. And what you're witnessing is the beginning of the Philippian church, which were the number one supporters of Paul and his ministry for the next 15 years. God knows what he is doing. We'll see you in 30 minutes.